This is Fresh Air. The Great Gatsby was published on April 10, 1925, which makes this Thursday its 100th anniversary. Our book critic, Maureen Corrigan, is one of the many people who think it's the great American novel. She has an appreciation.
The Great Gatsby, 100 years old? How can that be? To borrow the words F. Scott Fitzgerald used to describe New York City in the 1920s, The Great Gatsby possesses all the iridescence of the beginning of the world. The novel's main characters are young, in a restless America, reveling in the excess of the new modern age, an age whose anxieties have resurfaced with fresh intensity in our own moment. Great works of art are great in part because they continue to have something to say to the present. They're both time-bound and timeless. And boy, does Gatsby have something to say to us in 2025. Recall that the novel takes place in the summer of 1922 on Long Island and in New York City, a city that was then the center for contemporary debates about the threat of foreign influences, so-called racial pollution, and the ascendance of the liberated new woman embodied in the novel by the professional golfer Jordan Baker. Post-World War I New York had been transformed by the colossal second wave of immigrants, mostly from Eastern and Southern Europe, that had begun pouring into the city in the late 1880s. By 1920, only 1 million of the city's 6 million residents were white, native-born Protestants. There was also a massive internal migration going on back then. Black Americans were relocating from southern rural areas to cities like Chicago, Detroit, and New York. No wonder, then, that Tom Buchanan, that boorish bullying embodiment of white male old money privilege, introduces himself in chapter one of the novel by spouting ideas from a popular book on eugenics that he's been reading. "Civilization's going to pieces," insists Tom. "If we don't look out, the white race will be utterly submerged. It's all scientific stuff. It's been proved." In addition to ruminating about how far the promise of America could or should be extended to include immigrants, women, and people of color, The Great Gatsby is also freshly topical because it's our great American novel about class. All the other major contenders, and I'm thinking of books like Huckleberry Finn, Moby Dick, Beloved, foreground the issue of race. The compressed geography of Long Island and New York, made mythic in the novel, allowed Fitzgerald to speed his characters through high-class East Egg to wannabe West Egg and past the working-class Valley of Ashes to explore the limits of the American dream of social mobility. Fitzgerald himself said his novel was about aspiration. But aspiration doesn't guarantee success. Remember that Jay Gatsby, the character who strives, who stretches out his arms to that green light and all it represents, is dead at the beginning of this retrospective story. No surprise, then, that The Great Gatsby has been and continues to be banned as our frenzy of book banning rages on. Blame all that drinking, extramarital sex, and a lurking doubt about the meritocratic promise of America. But the banners aren't reading the novel carefully enough. For even as The Great Gatsby tells us, the American dream may be a mirage, it does so in some of the most beautiful language anyone has ever written about America, particularly the last 7 or so pages of the novel, where Nick Carraway talks about man's search for something commensurate to his capacity for wonder. F. Scott Fitzgerald would be stunned to know that celebrations of Gatsby's centennial are taking place around the world this year. The novel was largely forgotten at the time of his death in Hollywood in 1940 at the age of 44. Back then, unsold copies of the first edition of Gatsby were still gathering dust in Scribner's warehouse. Fitzgerald would also be stunned to know that The Great Gatsby, more than any other novel, is the one most Americans read in high school. Indeed, it may be one of the few things that unites us. At the risk of sounding like a killjoy, I wish everyone would ditch those roaring 20s parties and instead celebrate Gatsby's 100th by reading or rereading this matchless novel about the troubled dream of America.
Maureen Corrigan is the author of a book about Gatsby called So We Read On, How the Great Gatsby Came to Be and Why It Endures. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, how can one man change the whole global economy? We talk about Trump's tariffs, why they've led stock markets to plummet, how they're changing our relationship with allies and adversaries, and what tariffs mean for our day-to-day lives. Our guest will be Zanny Minton-Beddoes, editor-in-chief of The Economist. I hope you'll join us. To keep up with what's on the show and get highlights of our interviews, follow us on Instagram at NPR Fresh Air. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham. Our managing producer is Sam Brigger. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Lauren Krenzel, Teresa Madden, Monique Nazareth, Thea Chaloner, Susan Yakundi, and Anna Bauman. Our digital media producer is Molly C.V. Nesper. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. Our co-host is Tanya Mosley. I'm Terry Gross.